And Lord, we thank you above all for every spiritual blessing in heavenly places that you have given us in our Savior, the Lord Jesus. So as we turn now to your word, we ask for the leadings and help of your Spirit, the Spirit of truth, that we may understand your will for our lives, most of all that we may be obedient and walk according to your will in these days that you've given us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Then Lord, to our coming from us, you know, all done with it, can't say to us. この一年間を通して、多くの恵みを注いでくださったことを感謝いたします。特に、御子イエスによって、天にあるすべての霊的恵み、祝福を持って、私たちに与えてくださっていることを感謝いたします。どうか今から、共に御言葉を学ぼうとしています。真理の御霊によって、助けて導いてくださり、あなたの御心を知ることができるように、そして何よりも、その御心に従って、あなたに喜ばれるものとして、これからの人生を歩むことができますように、主イエス・キリストの御名によってお祈りいたします。アーメン。Today's reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 14. From now on, I'm just speaking in English, so...Those who want to hear in Japanese can use a headset. John chapter 14, from verse 1 through to verse 9. Jesus is speaking to his disciples in the upper room the night before he was arrested and crucified. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me.In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. But where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us.Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father? Over the past weeks, we have been focusing on the I am statements in John's Gospel.Statements by the Lord Jesus Christ in John's Gospel 7, where he takes the name of God from the Old Testament and Exodus chapter 3, 14, and uses it for himself. You know, Moses asked God, Who can I tell them? Sent me. And God's answer to him was, Tell them I am who I am, has sent them.Now Jesus takes those very words the name which God gave to Moses for himself. And he says, I am. And so today, this is the fifth of seven statements. In verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the third part, because over the past 2 weeks we looked at I am the way and I am the truth. And today we want to focus on the third and final part of this verse, where Jesus said, I am the life. And what he means by that. First of all, in John's Gospel, when he uses this word, the life, he's referring clearly to eternal life, the life of God. And you can see that at the end of the Gospel, chapter 20, and in verses 30 and 31, John writes there clearly what his purpose in writing this Gospel is. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Obviously, people who don't believe in Jesus have life, physical life. The Apostle John is clearly talking about a different kind of life. He's talking about the life of God, eternal life, through believing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone, I'm sure, has heard one of the most famous, well-known scripture verses in all the Bible, John chapter 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus saying here, I am the life. The first thing he's saying is, I am. As the eternal Son of God, I am eternal life. And then in chapter 17 of verse 3, he explains how he gives that life to us who believe in him. Just look at chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus is explaining how he gives us his life, eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So to know Jesus personally, to have a personal relationship with him. Obviously, he's not talking about an academic knowledge, something we heard about or read about, just a head knowledge. He's talking here about knowing him in a personal relationship. And he says that when we know him in that way, we also know his Father, God, the Father. And that's why in verse 9 he said in our reading today, he who has seen me has seen the Father. When we've seen Jesus, obviously not with physical eyes, we can't see him with physical eyes. But when he opens the eyes of our heart, when we ask him in and receive him personally to be our Lord and Savior, he opens the eyes of our hearts to see him, to see who he really is, the eternal Son of God. And when we see him, he says, we have seen the Father, because I and the Father are one. Complete oneness with the Father. Jesus, fully God at the same time as being fully man. And so, everyone who receives him as their Savior personally, ask him to be Lord of our lives, we get to see, with the eyes of our hearts opened, to see the true and the living God, to know personally and have a personal relationship with him. Just want to turn one more scripture where Jesus talks about this in Luke chapter 10, verses 21-23. Jesus talks about this, how he reveals the Father to us. Luke 10 and verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. And so, Jesus says here, the people who he reveals his Father to are people who he describes as babes. Now he's talking about grown-up men, his 70 disciples who he had sent and had come back, rejoicing that in praying in Jesus' name they had such success and power in their ministry. And Jesus seeing that, thanks his Father that he has revealed these things, these powerful truths of God, the Father, he has revealed them to these people who he describes as babes. And that simply means when you look at other passages where Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven belongs to children. He doesn't mean literally just little children. He's talking about those who, he said, humble themselves like children. Not trusting in their own abilities, not trusting in their own righteousness, just humbly receiving from him this gift, this amazing gift, of eternal life. And he said to his disciples, blessed are the eyes which see the things which you see. And you know, after Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples, one of them, called Thomas, the twin, he wasn't there with the disciples, and then a week later Jesus came and revealed himself to them again, just so that Thomas could see his resurrection body and touch the scars in his hands and in his side where he had been pierced on the cross. But Thomas, who had previously said, unless I see, unless I touch, I will not believe. But he did. Without touching, he confessed, my Lord and my God. And so, Jesus said to him, because you've seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen, but believe. So that's you and me. Cannot see Jesus with our physical eyes, but praise God, he opens the eyes of our hearts to see him in all his glory as the eternal Son of God, our only Savior. And Jesus said, when you have that experience, you are blessed. When Jesus says you are blessed, be sure you are truly blessed in every way that Thomas and all those early disciples were blessed. You're blessed in exactly the same way. The second thing Jesus is saying when he said, I am the light. And eternal life is knowing the only true and living God through me, the one who he has sent. He's telling us the surpassing worth, the excellence of knowing Jesus. There's nothing in this world that compares with knowing Jesus personally. There's nothing as precious. Nothing compares. I took that phrase, the excellence of knowing Jesus, from Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. The Apostle Paul, he says there that he counts all things lost for the excellence of knowing Christ Jesus. And he was talking about all the things that this world values above everything else. And he had the best education, the highest qualifications. He was being trained and raised as a leader of his nation. He had all the things that people in this world value most. And all of that, he said, in comparison to knowing Jesus as his Lord and Savior, he said, they are actually like rubbish in comparison. Rubbish. The things that this world values most, they're like rubbish when we come to know Jesus, because this is the greatest change in values that anyone can experience. When you come to know Jesus personally, and the wonderful excellence, surpassing worth of knowing him, who to know is life eternal, all the things of this world become insignificant in comparison. And that's the change that takes place in every believer. The greatest change in values that you will ever experience through knowing him and having a personal relationship with him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Apostle Paul writes his own testimony describing that experience. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, he goes on there to say that all things are now from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ. He experienced being changed and transformed from a terrorist who was the chief persecutor of the early church. He was the most zealous persecutor of the Christians in order to protect his, what he considered his culture, his identity, his heritage, all those things that this world values most. And yet, he became the first and the greatest Christian missionary of all time. That's how much a person's values are changed by knowing Jesus and having a personal relationship with him. A radical change in our values, and in Paul's case, it's extreme. For many of us, it may not be so extreme that from a life of like terrorism to becoming a missionary. But there are still many today, including me, who are experiencing that just like the Apostle Paul did. And so, just going into 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I want to say that this is the one thing that, as Christians, we are told we are allowed to glory in. We can glory in this, knowing Him as our Lord and Savior. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, just at the end of that chapter, verse 29 to 31. God says, in a way that it says in verse 29, no flesh is glory in His presence. But of whom you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now there Paul is quoting. He says, as it is written. He's quoting from the Old Testament prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 14. Where God said through his prophet, let him who glories glory in this, that he knows and understands me. The Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the world. Now, so just think about what God says we can glory in. Glory in knowing Him and understanding that He is the one who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. Isn't it ironic that this is the very thing that unbelievers say as the reason, many of them say the reason they don't believe in God? Because the world is so full of injustice, inequality, unfairness. And yet, for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we get to know Him, and the more we get to know Him, the deeper we get to know Him, the more we get to understand that He never, ever leaves anything as an injustice or an unfairness or an inequality. He always, in His time, in His own way, He exercises loving kindness and justice and righteousness here and now, in this world. But only the believer in Jesus can see it. It's after we come to faith and get to know Him that we begin to see that. And do you know where we see it most of all? On the cross. The greatest injustice of all time. No one will ever suffer more injustice, unfairness, than the Lord Jesus Christ did on that cross. The only one. He never even told a lie, not even once. More than that, he never even had a bad thought about anyone. Perfectly sinless. The Son of God. And yet, he was arrested unlawfully. Accused. Unjustly. Interrogated by torture. Publicly executed as a criminal in shame. No one could ever experience a bigger injustice, an unfairness, than the Son of God did on our behalf. But God didn't leave it like that. 3 days later, God showed that He was righteous, that He was without sin. when he raised him from the dead and showed him in his resurrection form openly to many of his followers. We're told that more than 500 on one occasion saw the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus. You see, that is God exercising loving kindness, justice, and righteousness, vindicating the one who is righteousness and publicly showing it. And you know, he does the same for you and me if we will let him. We will commit everything into his hands and let him be our defender. Let him be the righteous judge. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 23. Where it tells us very clearly that as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, this is what you are called to. You and I. This is what he has called us to. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. So when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him, that is his Father, who judges righteously. Now I wonder, have you ever realized that as a Christian, as a believer in Christ, this is what you're called to be treated unfairly and unjustly, to be reviled, to have things said about you, evil things said about you that are not true? He said, this is what you're called to. He said, if they hated me, they'll hate you too. Just yesterday morning in my prayer time, God led me to that verse, which 1 John chapter 3:13, it's not in the script, but this was just yesterday morning after the script had already been written and prepared. Do not marvel, my brethren, that the world hates you. Don't think it's strange. It's what you're called to. Jesus, in the next chapter of John, which we read today, chapter 15, he said, when they hit you, remember, they hated me first. And then in chapter 17, he's praying, he says, Father, I have given your word to them, and the world has hated them, because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So I don't know where this idea comes from that when you become a Christian, everyone is going to like you, or everyone is going to speak well of you. You know, Jesus actually said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. If everyone likes you and everyone speaks well of you, there's something seriously wrong in your life as a Christian. I remember speaking on blessed are the persecuted, and the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said, rejoice, be exceedingly glad when they say all kinds of evil falsely against you. Rejoice. It's not a negative thing. It's a blessing. Blessed are you. the highest blessing that we can experience as Christians, because we're suffering for His name. We're sharing in His suffering. But you know, in that chapter there, we just read in 1 Peter 2, how Jesus dealt with it. You and I are called to deal with it in exactly the same way. He said when He was reviled, He did not revile back. When He suffered, He didn't threaten, but committed Himself to the one who judges righteously, knowing with full assurance that God is the God who exercises justice and righteousness and loving kindness. See, in the cross of Christ, we see all those things more clearly than anywhere else. You don't understand that God exercises righteousness and justice, you cannot understand how the love of God is revealed in that cross. How can that be love? Allowing your one and only Son to be crucified, unfairly treated and tortured and put to death. How can that be love? Well, it's only when you understand that God exercises righteousness and justice all the time. He had to punish sin. He had no choice. But His love found a way to exercise justice and righteousness and still forgive us by taking that judgment, that punishment, Himself. So it's only through the justice and the righteousness of God we can understand the love of God more clearly demonstrated more than anywhere than on the cross. So we can glory in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and our Heavenly Father God, that He is the one that always exercises justice, righteousness, as well as loving kindness. But you know, when we refuse to leave it in His hands, and we decide we're going to deal with it and sort it out our own way, in the same way as the people of this world fight for your rights, stand up and vindicate yourself and justify yourself, we take it out of God's hands. It's only those who commit it to Him and leave it there will experience and know personally that He is always on our side, and He will always be our defender and vindicator and exercise justice on our behalf in His time, in His way. So let's remember that we can glory in this, an understanding that God is the one who exercises in His way, in His time, all that we need as our vindicator. Finally, Jesus says, here I am the light. A few weeks ago we looked at it when He said, I'm a good shepherd, I'm come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. You know, this life that Jesus says He gives us by entering into a personal relationship with us, it's abundant life. Not an easy life. And certainly doesn't mean abundance in the sense of prosperity in material ways, you know, living a life of luxury and ease. Jesus never ever said anything like that. He said it would be hard. And He said, you will have tribulation in this world. But be of good cheer. I have already overcome the world. It's abundant life in that he leads us in victory and gives us a light, his life, the life of God, indwelling and filling our hearts and our souls. Deepest longings. Remember the very first one of these I am statements. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. Not talking physical hunger and thirst, obviously. Talking about the deepest longings of our hearts and our souls being filled completely. And so when he said, I am the life, he's talking about a life that is eternal, not when we die and go to heaven. You don't have to wait until you get to heaven to experience eternal life. In fact, he says you have to experience it here and now if you want to experience it there with him in heaven. You have to experience it here first, knowing him personally, having a personal relationship with him. That is eternal life, here and now. And that is abundant life. The only thing that can satisfy fully and give us perfect peace in this life. In the 17th century, there was a famous philosopher, mathematician, physicist, famous for many things, but a man called Pascal. And even he acknowledged, he said that in every human heart, there's a God-shaped vacuum, a void, a God-shaped space that nothing of this world can fill. And we can see plenty of evidence. We've experienced it ourselves when we try to satisfy, find satisfaction in the things of this world. So, Chupai just leaves us wanting more and more of the things that, in the end, destroy us, do us harm, destroy us. But when Jesus brings his life into our hearts, we no longer have that hunger and thirst for the things of this world. And we experience for the first time in our lives perfect peace. Peace that is from above. And it's not dependent on anything in this world. And I experienced that in a place in prison where there was nothing of this world you could enjoy. And yet, through fellowship and personal relationship with Jesus, every day, reading his word and prayer, being lifted up out of that, soul being lifted up into heaven and fellowship with Jesus. And that's what he gives every one of his believers. And we seek him first, before everything else in this world. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. The way to God, the truth of God, and the life, which is eternal life, here and now. And the more we know him, the more we realize, in our personal experience, there's nothing compares with it. And we want to give him all that we have and all that we are, so that we can know him deeper. And I pray that this morning that will be your desire. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, all you have to do is ask him in humility, acknowledging that you're a sinner, and that he died for your sin, and ask him to come into your life as your Lord and Savior. That's all. And you're guaranteed he will receive you. Here and now. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and him will come to me. I will never trust him, ever. Never turn away. And if you're a believer, then you already know the Lord Jesus. I trust you have an increasing desire to know him more. By putting him first and experiencing what the Apostle Paul experienced. More and more things of this world become worthless in comparison. Let us pray. Again, I'll pray in English and in Japanese. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for our Savior, your one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been thinking over the Christmas period, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Eternal life through his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for opening our eyes to see our Savior, for opening our hearts to receive him. Forgiveness, the surpassing worth of knowing him in our own personal experience. We pray for anyone here this morning or anyone listening online who has yet have not come to see their one and only Savior. Lord, open their eyes, that they may see the eternal Son of God, their one and only Savior, and open their hearts to receive him, we pray. Help us, Lord, in our daily life to seek you first and to know increasingly the depths of your love and the preciousness of knowing Jesus. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 10 minutes to now open some out. What do I need? You are watching me. ほどの素晴らしい贈り物を心から感謝いたします。御子イエスによって永遠の命を与えてくださっていることを心から感謝いたします。どうか日々の生活の中でイエス様に従うことによって第一に求めることによってますます、この素晴らしい、個人的な関係を深めることができますように、この世のものすべて、捨てることができるように、そして、あなたの愛を、さらに深く知ることができますように。もしこのメッセージを聞いて、まだ、イエス様を知らない方がいらっしゃるなら、その心の目を開いてくださって、イエス様を永遠の神の子として、そして自分の救い主として見ることができるように、何よりもその心を開いて受け入れることができますように、どうか神様、私たちの家族や愛する人々の中でも まだあなたを知らない人もいますので、一日も早く、後悔のない、あなたの素晴らしい救い主を受け入れることができますよ。主イエスキリストの御名によってお祈りいたします。アーメン。